Welcome to FSHD Straight Talk, the podcast where we dive deep into living with FSHD. I'm your host, Tim Hollenbach, and I'm on the journey with you. Having FSHD, I understand the challenges it brings to patients and their families. We're in this together, and this podcast is a space where we swap stories, share advice, and talk to experts to get the latest news. There's plenty to say about living with FSH muscular dystrophy, so let's get straight to it. Welcome to another episode of FSHD Straight Talk. I'm your host, Tim Hollenbach, and welcome again to the show. I have another fantastic guest, of course. We always do. We always have great guests for you because I believe people come on the show and share some amazing stories, amazing experiences, and hopefully some nuggets of, I don't know, maybe something that kind of gets you through another day or helps you with an adaption or makes you just think, I was thinking the same thing. And this guest today I found through email. She sent something out to me, and it was a conversation about the show. And then, of course, I asked if she'd like to be on the show and share her FSHD story and some feedback. She is a psychologist. Her name is Alyssa. She has so much great things to share in this episode to unpack things in regards to good mental health, her practice. She dances, how she's adapted to that part of her life. She talks about her diagnosis story, kind of in that state of a lot of us where we are in certain life stories that I've had on here shared is that maybe they're reluctant to come out about it. And that's exactly what this kind of starts with. And then it leads into talking about when she was pregnant and how the disease kind of took over a little bit more than she wanted it to, and how proud she is about her two kids now and the help that they give her, and so many things to discuss within it. The takeaways for sure are numerous. If you want to be on the show, please email me, just like Alyssa did and so many others have, at fshdradio@fshdsociety.org. Or if you don't want to be a guest on the show, just want to kind of share your thoughts about it, or maybe a topic you'd like me to talk about, I'd love to talk about that, because I'm sure there's things I'm missing, you know? And the community is what I feed off of. So send me that, fill the inbox up. Message out to me. You can find me on social. I'm out there, you know, Facebook, etc. If you want to follow me personally, I'm fine with that too. You can DM me too through that if you'd like. No problem. You probably recognize me as a baseball coach on those things. That is me. And you can share there as well. I don't know if anybody has seen the newest advocate, the 2025 issue number 2, Powering the Path Forward, Pillars of Progress. I got it today in the mail as we're going to hit record on this. And it's been great seeing an article about a former guest we've had on here, Johnny Quintana, who is part of the inspiration of why we had the guest on today. Alyssa heard that episode, and she felt compelled to email, and then now she's a guest on the show. Feel free to also share the show, tell others about it, even those that don't have FSHD. I think there's a lot of life lessons to be had here, how to cope with things, how to adapt, how to overcome the best you can. And that we're all kind of a work in progress, granted, but yeah. There's one piece, too, of something that's maybe not necessarily about this show, but something that kind of crossed my mind before I came to record this today. So I had a conversation with my wife who she shares an interest, as I do, in like people that write, you know, books that inspire others. Like, I'm a big John Gordon fan, and there's a book I love by P.J. Fleck called Row the Boat. I love the analogy within that book, and I was sharing that with her, and she was sharing with me about a book she was reading. And it occurred to me, I said, you know, I've never heard anybody, and maybe I'm wrong because I don't know every book in the world that's ever been written, but in the same genre, you know, of kind of life coaching or dealing with certain things or maybe lessons of success, but it's always like the author writes the book after they've had the success. I've never read a book where someone's like still in it, like still in the fight, still in the growth, still in the build, still in the creation. You know, like, I've read a book about how Nike was built after it was built. Of course, it's a success. And I thought, is there a market for that? Is there a market for someone that would want to read someone's, you know, building of what that, whatever that they're trying to become or whatever they're trying to create, just within the moments of it? Maybe it's volumes then of that book that you would read. I'd find that being very interesting to kind of be on the path with those people. It's just a curious thought because I kind of reference these books often, and I thought, man, this would be interesting to kind of bring it out there on the podcast this episode and kind of let me know your feedback on that. Like, would you be interested to hear a book about someone that is like in the battle of creating something in their life? Maybe something positive, of course, we hope, And even if it ends up not maybe being as successful as they thought, but just learning how it started and learning how it grows. And then maybe that's it. Maybe that's all you know at the moment until the next volume. Curious if you have the same thought about that. FSHD Radio at FSHDSociety.org. So without further ado, don't want to leave you hanging any longer. Let's cue up that great interview and conversation with Alyssa. So as promised, we have a fantastic episode with another great guest here today, sharing their FSHD story, their life. I think we got a lot of great nuggets, as I call it, coming your way to kind of take with you to kind of battle the disease with yet another person that's in our corner. Alyssa, welcome. Thanks for being here. Thanks for taking the time. I'm so glad that we could connect. I think you have a lot to share. But first, I always start, as you probably know, and everybody probably listening and shaking their head, yeah, he always starts with, you know, a little bit of yourself, your FSHD story. Who are you? Where are you from? That kind of thing.
Sure. Be happy to. Okay, so I'm from New York originally. I now live in San Francisco. Obviously, it was in my DNA, but I did not know that I had the disease until, well, so it was misdiagnosed at first. So I live downtown in Manhattan, and I was going to school uptown, and I was carrying a very heavy backpack back and forth back in the day when you had textbooks. I don't think they have them anymore.
I remember those days, but yeah.
Those days? We had encyclopedias, we had all those things. So I noticed at some point that I had trouble raising my right arm. And, you know, I think I went to like my regular doctor, nobody knew. And then I went to like real specialists in neurology, actually at Columbia Presbyterian Hospital, and they misdiagnosed it as a nerve problem and said that, they were attributing it to like something related to like World War One, I think, or World War Two, with people who had heavy backpacks on, like military packs.
And
they found some kind of nerve damage in those cases.
Yeah.
And so that was sort of their thinking at the time. And so I left New York when I moved out here with that idea that I had some kind of nerve problem, and then was looking for health professionals, medical professionals who could re-innervate the nerve.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah. And so I believe I went to a physical therapist. I went to a Rolfer.
What is a Rolfer?
A Rolfer. I know, it sounds funny. It is somebody, it's a kind of massage that is like really deep. Like it's not fun and it's not relaxing. It hurts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like,
yeah,
like
that sounds horrible.
Yeah, deeper than deep tissue. Not pleasant.
Not pleasant. No. Okay. So that wasn't good.
That was not good. That was not good at all. And it was interesting too, because I felt like I ran into a lot of professionals who almost took it on as like, I'm going to figure this out. And with a little bit of hubris that kind of bothered me a little bit, because it almost like wasn't sure. I really wanted somebody to figure it out. But at the same time, there was something that didn't feel good about it.
Right. Right. And when that happens, you're right. I think you touched on something there. Like you want to know, but you don't really want to know.
Yeah.
And as soon as you get that first answer, even if you think it fits or not, that's it. There's the answer. Okay, we're good. Let's just leave it alone. Right.
Right. Right. Exactly. So it wasn't until I went to Kaiser here in San Francisco to their neurology department. I can't remember. I think maybe it was just like following up because I had met with a neurologist. And so I went to their neurology department, and there was this doctor there. I remember her name. Her name was Dr. Janes. She has moved years ago. She moved to, I think, Australia or New Zealand. But she was the first person who looked at the symptoms and said, I think I know what this is. And she ordered a blood test, and we did an EMG. And I got the diagnosis.
And they said right at that point, FSH or FSHD. And did you get an explanation with the diagnosis? Like, kind of put us in the room, you know? What was like, here this is.
Yeah, it's a good question. I almost don't remember. Like, I feel like I know that she was extremely kind and I really liked her. So I imagine it was done in a really thoughtful way. Like, she wasn't kind of a cold, insensitive kind of doctor. Like, she was very kind and I think there was compassion in her voice. But I don't know that I understood what that meant at that time. It was just explaining that symptom, but it wasn't until I started to do more research that I was like, oh, wait a minute. This is degenerative. This is going to potentially affect other muscle groups that I started to get anxious.
So with the muscle groups that you're getting anxious with, I know you talked about being younger, carrying the backpack to school, etc. What other physical things were you doing? Like, where is there, you know, any other activities that you were concerned about that it was going to affect?
Trying to think. I didn't know. Like, I knew that I couldn't raise my right arm anymore. I knew that there was asymmetry. And I think it stayed that way, pretty stable for a while. Maybe there was a little bit affecting my left shoulder. And, the whole scapula was winging. But I would say, and I went pretty, I think, annually would have checkups with my neuromuscular doctor who took her place. So they would do my checks and everything was staying pretty stable. So I was like, okay, like I'm not psyched about this, but like I can work with this.
So at the time, it didn't seem like it was progressing enough to like draw any big alarms or change your life any drastic way, but yet it's a, still a knowledge, right? I mean, you walk in one way to a doctor's office with those kind of, you know, I'm not sure what this is, to okay, now we know I'm categorized to this such and such group or have this such and such disease. You know, some have gotten a doom and gloom type, you know, diagnosis of there's no cure, there's no treatment, good luck. I mean, I personally didn't even get a pamphlet. It was just like, here you go. I'm like, okay. And then I got the speech of it's not life threatening, but it's life shortening. Okay. What the hell does that mean? I don't know the difference. So, you know, those kinds of things. And I think, you know, for my doctor, who I see someone different, but yet in the same office. So it's not like the person turned me off where I thought, you know, forget that guy. But, you know, that's just how it is sometimes. And I'm a little bit more of a, you know, kind of just hit it to me, you know, just give it to me straight kind of person anyway when it comes to those things. I kind of like the money ball. I don't know if you've seen this film, but the money ball mentality, I always call it. It's like they use an analogy within the film saying giving bad news to a player when they're going to get cut. It's a baseball movie. Hey, you know, do you just want to give them one to the head or you want three to the stomach? I'm more of the one to the head kind of guy. So like, no, just tell it to me straight. Let's just get to it. So I'm okay with the brashness of it, but not everybody is, you know, and I think that some have to get absorbed into the idea. But it sounds like it wasn't necessarily doom and gloom for you or a quick one shot, hey, this is horrible. It was just more, hey, this is about you.
No, I like what you're saying because I do feel like there's like so many layers to it. So like even if like for you, like you're saying, like you have this way, this part of you that's like, just give it to me straight, like lay it down. I think as human beings, like we are all at our core like vulnerable.
Oh, yeah,
And
for
so,
sure.
like, one, we could lead with, like, I can handle it. And, but then the, like, co those layers underneath are like, I'm scared.
Yes, totally agree. It's like, you know, waves of that changing feelings and like, but you know, and that evolves, I think, as you get older within this disease. So if you were diagnosed at that age, we're not going to ask you how old you are or anything like that. But
That's
it's been some
okay.
years, right? It's been some years.
Yeah.
So in the time that's spent from the time of diagnosis closer to this current time, like what was the journey though? Like
Yeah.
from that early diagnosis as you've been moving forward, like was there bigger stair falls, as I've been told, like of like the disease progression? Was it more, steady but maybe not so aggressive type falls of this disease as it attacks you? Kind of describe that a little bit.
Yeah, sure. And just so you know, I have no shame about my age. I'm 56. I have no problem. I think it's good for especially women to be honest about that if they feel comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. Agreed.
So interestingly, my journey was most sort of magnified and like more catalyzed after, so I have two kids.
Okay.
One's 19 and one is 17. And after my pregnancies, I had kind of like this distension in my lower belly. And I was like, what is this? Like, what's going on? This like pooping kind of thing that, but it was also like where I think it's called lordosis, so that my posture had become really like an S. And yeah, you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. We have that almost curvature, like you're like, yeah. Like
Yes.
some women take great offense, and I don't blame them, that if they are not pregnant, they have this look like they are. And they're like, I'm not,
Yes,
That's why I
exactly.
never say, like, hey, when's the baby due? I don't do that stuff.
You are wise. Yeah, so that was happening, and I was getting a lot of like lower back pain, and like also like a lot of women after they have babies, they are told to do like core work and go to Pilates
Oh,
and
sure.
all that stuff, and like I would try, but like I couldn't like kind of feel my core muscles, and I was like, what is that? Like, why can't I? And so I went back to my neurologist, and he looked it up, and I feel like I wish I remembered what it was called, but it was like in the history books again of like, I want to say it's like Brenner's or something with a B, but it's something that is, I don't know if it's definitely not just common to FSHD, but it's something where it's like a combination of like the weakening, and then like where your belly button is higher somehow, which is true for me. So anyway, it was like really that sort of started to bother me because I was like, so wait, so I'm gonna have lower back pain, like that's just gonna get worse, and I'm gonna be like having this like feel like I'm still pregnant when I'm not.
Yeah,
And I'm a
that's probably not
small
what you're looking for.
person. I don't know if you can tell, but I'm a small person and slight and have always been. So it looked weird. Like I was like, how is this going to be? And so I learned, that this was part of the FSHD. And I actually remember there was a article in one of the magazines, and it had somebody, I wish I could remember, he was an athlete. And he talked about this experience and how like he was so fit, but then he had this problem, like it was like this distension or whatever you want to call it. And so I started doing research, and I got focused. When I get focused on something, I'm like, I'm gonna figure this out. I'm gonna get to the bottom of this.
Find a solution, right?
Yeah, us find a solution. And so, and it was really like, I really wanted to help myself. And so I learned that there was a surgery, essentially what people call a tummy tuck, but like something where you can go in and like tighten things up. And like what I imagined was like they could do that, and then I could maybe feel my core muscles again.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so I was so convinced about this that I, because I knew most tummy tucks, it's cosmetic, and like nobody's going to pay for that.
Right. So there's a cost involved, right? And they
Cost
have,
involved, and
right.
so I went, I shopped around, like I went to whatever those people are called who do such surgeries, like I guess cause I don't know what is the word for cosmetic surgeries, whatever they're called,
Yeah.
doctors who do that kind of
Yeah.
work.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know something? This is related to my FSHD. What about if I talk about that? And so I ended up writing to Kaiser's surgery department and like cosmetic surgery, I believe. And I ended up the person who was the head of the department, the chief, who was this lovely man who did surgeries for like victims of war
Oh
and
my goodness.
kids who had like been burned, and like
Right.
I just thought like this is a wonderful man, and maybe he will understand where I'm coming from. Like I'm not just like, oh, I want to look hot, like I
Yeah,
want to
this
wear
is not superficial, right?
a
This has
bikini.
something to
Exactly.
do, yeah,
Yeah.
with
I
more
mean,
my
maybe.
quality of life, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I
Yeah.
mean, maybe a little bit of
Yeah.
superficial in there, but also, yeah, like I just felt like it's a quality of life thing. And when I wrote to the department and I got a letter back saying they approved the surgery. And I was,
Wow.
I mean, I was so thrilled. And
So did you go forward with it at that point then? I mean, was that like a green light for you?
yeah, I did
Yeah.
it.
Yeah. Wow.
And I gotta tell you, it was like life changing for me because I could feel musculature again. And he actually said to me, he didn't have to do, like usually with a tummy tuck, they do a lot more.
Yeah.
But what he actually went and did, all this distended muscle, he just cut it out and sewed it back together.
Wow.
Yeah.
How was the recovery on something like that?
I mean, not bad.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's fortunate. Wow.
Yeah, it was incredibly fortunate.
Yeah.
And I mean, definitely, I still have some lordosis, but what's happened for me, and I think part of what I wanted to come on this podcast for, a couple of reasons that I wanted to like share with people, but especially women who might be having similar problems post-pregnancies, is that it really helped me on so many levels. Like one being, I could feel the core strength again. And
Sure.
still, certain muscles are, going to be compromised no matter what because they're affected by FSHD. And also, people don't talk about this part because, it's not in the F, it's not in the
Yeah.
S, the H.
Right. Is it like which letter is it about, right? Yeah.
Exactly. It's
Yeah.
not listed. And
Like
so
that
that's
middle
why.
section. Yeah.
Nobody knew, nobody could tell me. And that's why the doctor looked and he was like, oh, it's actually not in the list. A lot of people have it.
They do. Yes.
So you
Yes. I mean,
understand.
yeah. And like it for me, it's as you especially get older, to me the core muscles are hard to maintain as a general person of the world, in my opinion. And then this disease doesn't help. But even like bending over or reaching beyond a general distance for me, like it stresses my core where I feel like, oh my, like I'm weak. Like you feel like there's no extra support there. So the fact that you were able to find this
Yeah.
procedure to kind of help or guide with that cosmetically, that's probably the byproduct of it. It
Yeah.
helps that way. But there's a real reason, why you did what you did. And it
Yeah.
sounds like it was successful. How
Yeah.
long ago was that that you had that done?
I'm trying to think. So my son was in TK, so that would have been he was 5. So
Okay.
he's 17. So yeah, it's like is that 12 years I'm
Yeah,
doing
about 12
this?
years.
Yeah.
Okay.
12 years ago. And yeah, it really, especially so I am a dancer and I love to dance, and it really has helped me be able to do things that I couldn't do before, meaning I've been learning through dance, through mindfulness, and through having a amazing neuromuscular physical therapist who has been teaching me how to engage different muscles, which I never had a physical therapist who understood FSHD, even if they were supposedly working with neuromuscular things. But I found, so my regular neurologist realized that I was a dancer and said, you're not, there's this new, I don't know if she's new, but she came into the department at some point, a neurologist who is a former dancer.
Oh, wow. What a
And he
coincidence.
said, you got to work with her. And her name is Megan Margaret Lynch, and she's at Kaiser. She's amazing. And she's helped me so much. So she connected me with this neuromuscular physical therapist who has taught me that we now understand we understand neuroplasticity. And so even though you may not be able to make a muscle work, you can help your brain learn how to recruit other muscles to do the job of the muscle that's not working.
Interesting.
I know. I
And
was
that's what that work kind of concentrates on.
Say that again, sorry.
Is that kind of what that work then concentrates on, what that therapy is about, what they're
Yeah.
working on primarily? Wow.
Yeah. And it's been incredible. Like, I mean, a lot of people, when you go to a physical therapist, the whole, like, if you don't do it, you're not gonna change anything. It's like they give you the exercises and then you actually have to go and do them.
Oh yeah,
It's
there's
a
a
lot of
ton of
money.
homework.
Right. Which I'm like, oh, I never really wanted to do those things. However, because I understood what she was saying and like it kind of got me inspired, that I was like, I'm going to try this. And so I really did the exercises.
And then you saw results, it sounds like. It's been
I mean,
successful.
the most important thing is I don't have back pain anymore.
Interesting.
Yeah, and that was a big thing that was getting in the way of my dancing, was that I just would have this back pain, and a combination of these exercises and taking turmeric and CBD, I would
I've heard
say
both
those
those
two
work.
things, I think that those things really made a difference.
Is that is and I know you mentioned that, like, right, that you wanted to come on to more or less tell people, hey, this is what I'm doing. This is what works for me. Maybe you know about it, maybe you don't, or maybe you do know about it, maybe you're a little bit uncertain, almost a testimonial, so to speak, in some of the work that you've been doing. But you talk about, dance, and it sounds like, I mean, that is what that is. It's like moving the body. Well, is there been a big change? Have you ever had to make any adaptions in how you dance since this disease?
So, well, one of the things that, like, I think preceded making changes in my dance was starting to realize that I have a disease. Like, it's one thing when the doctor tells you it, and then it's another when like you actually really settle into it, which has taken me how many years. And it sort of like on the like very basic level of like, why am I making it so hard? Like, why haven't I moved the dishes to a lower cabinet?
No, I just want to struggle, right? Being on the tippy toes or I'm still kind of there myself though, Alyssa. I mean, I share a house with well, the one son now has moved out into college, he's not here as much, but it's been four of us in the home. Like, there's nothing been really changed. Like, dad stuff is on the lower areas. I just figure out, I adapt until the point where I know I can't reach it. Maybe when something falls on my head, that's probably what it'll be. And then I'll finally go, okay, maybe we should like move that. Even though my wife's more than willing to move things with me and say, well, we can figure this out different. No, that's okay. Like, I don't want to inconvenience everybody because I have this disease, right? It's bad enough I have it. But yeah, you're right, because it's making it real, isn't it? It's giving it like that reality.
And I think that there's a part of me not only didn't want to make it real, but I think there's like a sort of a heroic part to me that's
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I'm invulnerable, I'm impenetrable, I got this, like no, nobody needs to help me. It's not even like stoicism, really. It's more just like, I got this.
Yes, totally. If you admit it, that means there's something wrong. If there's something wrong, maybe you're lesser than or weak or like, I don't know, just name it, right? And put whatever negative connotation, label, whatnot to it. And I guess it is a denial thing, but yet it's not. Like, I think we all are totally knowing, could we have this? But it's almost like pushing it off as long as you possibly can by doing things normal, air quotes, those that are really listening. Normal, and kind of leaving life the way it is. Plus, it's almost like certain things. I think if I would do it, like for instance, I have drop foot on my left foot. I don't really want to wear AFO. I have fought it like a crazy person to the point where I have fallen multiple times not wearing one to go. Finally, my wife's like, okay, what looks worse, wearing the AFO or falling?
Totally.
Right. Okay.
No,
Stop
but I
making sense,
get
right? It's like,
it. Yes.
okay. But I wear this AFO once in a while or different alterations, different types, and you
Yep.
do get comments or you do get the extra stare or the extra look, like, what the hell is that on his foot? And there is this like ownership to it, this confidence you have to have with it. Like, yes, I have this. So when people have asked me, hey, you walk a little different, or are you okay? You have a limp. No, I'm
Yeah.
not. I have FSHD. I just hit him. I told you, right? Right to the right. Let's just get right to it. They're
Yeah.
not expecting someone to
No.
say, I have muscular dystrophy, that's why I have a limp. They're expecting, oh, I have arthritis, or it's a bad day, or I don't know, I fell, I hurt myself, whatever, something quick and easy. And it's not, because I don't want to lie. This is not BS. And then there's been moments where I think it's an opportunity to educate people. So as you even talk about your story today, yeah, these are, points of education too. Like, this works. You've made adaptions in your dance. You've kind of talked about the things you take. So what's like your daily routine to kind of keep you going?
Oh, and let me just say one other thing that
Oh,
I think is
yeah.
important in my process. And again, like I'm
Yeah.
still evolving, like I feel like I'm just always a work in progress. But I think when I initially accepted the disease, like where I started, like, okay, I really do need to lower the plates to a different cabinet. I started to move from a place of deficiency or defectiveness to a place of empowerment of like, okay, like I'm gonna have this disease and I'm gonna be badass about it. I don't know if I can say that on air.
Sure, of course
But like a
Huh.
reclamation almost of like, you know what? Why am I like I discovered that like I had all the shame. It was like, why do I have this shame? Like I didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
But I think there was some like something in there that really messed with me. And it wasn't until I started to feel better and started to get stronger through like the physical therapy and starting to use different muscles, like I noticed that I started to feel better inside and like my dance practice started to like feel more grounded and kind of more, dare I say, beautiful? Like I was just sort of like I felt alive in a different way than I had ever been.
The word that kind of comes to mind, maybe embrace it a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Like I didn't feel like for a long time in dance, I would like hide, I would even wear things or do things so that people wouldn't see my scapula winging out. And then I started to be like, fuck it. Like, what is it?
I'm just gonna wear what I want,
I'm gonna
right?
wear whatever I want.
Ask away.
I'm gonna wear a crop top. I don't care. I'm gonna like show my shoulder. And if they have somebody ask me about it, I'm gonna say, yeah, I have FSHD. I have a muscular dystrophy. And that's happened very infrequently because what I also learned is nobody's looking at me. Everybody's in their own thing.
True. That is true. That is true.
Right.
It's more of a self-conscious thing. There's no question.
Totally.
And we all think we're always being looked at, but are we really? Maybe not.
the
Yeah, which is
imaginary
wrong.
audience.
Yes. Or like the tale that you tell in your head that this
Yeah.
is going to happen. And then I think that definitely leads into people then staying, they stay home more, they're more sheltered more. They don't really want to experience certain things. Then you're missing out. Like, what can you do?
Totally.
As we air this or record this and then soon to be aired, I just have our FSHD Society Advocate, newsletter thing. And I know you can see it on the internet as well, but they sent out the actual magazine part, and it's littered in there with people still mountain climbing and bike riding and like doing it either just for fun or doing it for charity and fun or whatever. And it's like, man, there's a lot of people still experiencing what they can experience, taking it to the ultimate limits. And it sounds like you're doing the same thing with your dance. You're taking it still to the farthest limit you can based on what you can do. And you're not really thinking about, and that to me is master adaption, which is I think what all FSHD people are. I think if we realize it or not, I think we're all master adapters. We figure out how to do things within the limitations. I don't think we call them really limitations in our head. We're just like, well, okay, I can't do it that way. I'll do it this way. When you do the dance, but then there's also the work side. Like I said, there's also probably a life routine of like certain type of supplements or things like that. I get that question a lot from people, or I see it either on social media threads, like people trying to share, well, hey, this is what I use, this is what I take. I get accused at home, like, oh my goodness, what supplements are you taking now, Tim? It's like, I'm gonna try this. I'm thinking, I'm not saying it's a miracle, but will it help? Will it help with the pain or help with the soreness or whatever? Is there any like certain supplements? I guess one part of the question is like, is there any certain supplements or things you take that you're like, hey, I really find this works?
Well, I said before the turmeric, and this was vetted by my neuromuscular doctor.
Okay,
Yeah,
great.
she said this. I mean, I had seen a I was actually looking at I was watching a thing on inflammation, and I asked my doctor about it, and she's like, "Oh yeah, take as much turmeric as you can. We want to decrease inflammation because, this
Oh
happens.
yeah,
We have
that's what it does
inflammation."
to us. Yeah.
So
Yeah.
that's huge. Like I take gummies because I hate to take big like horse.
Yeah.
So I take like three
Right.
of the turmeric gummies, and they're
Yeah.
like turmeric and black pepper or something.
Okay,
Yeah,
nice.
they're great. And then the CBD is also good for muscle pain. And then what else in the way of supplements? Are you talking about just like supplements for the body?
Yeah, I think it's more, yeah, it's been like supplements for the body. Sounds like those are kind of your go-tos, right? To make sure you're probably doing those daily. Like I don't take pharmaceuticals for my issues. I just don't, to me, it's not going to help. It might even create more problems. So if I can find something more natural, my neurologist kind of falls in that same line as like you talk about. She wanted blood tests to see, okay, let's see how balanced you are, Tim, with your vitamins and things, and let's start working on that and get things where they should be. And then maybe that'll help some of the soreness or those things naturally. And like avoiding pharmaceuticals. I mean, for me, I want to avoid it at all cost. But I also believe that there is, if you know this or not, those that listen probably do now, but I'm a baseball coach a lot. So, and I study other coaches, what they do, what they say, and I'm really big on mindfulness. The coaching side of a sport is not just the athletic part. And since I can't always concentrate on the physical side of the sport, I'm really big on the mental game of things. And there's an analogy that I love where a coach said, it's a 95-5 type mentality where, yeah, maybe this sport that we coach of baseball is 95% physical, but it's 5% mental, but the five control the 95. So if that part is off, forget it. So to me, it's like in your line of work, you help people, with whatever struggles they may have there. So you have a huge expertise and background, maybe over most of us. So this is like a big question. You can get to kind of take it wherever you think is best, but it's like, what should we be working on our mental game? And does your work, what you do, and the knowledge you have help you even your own self, work through the mental side of this disease? Because I think it's a physical and emotional side that we battle all the time.
Yeah, I don't know if we mentioned what I do. Have we mentioned that?
No, I think now is a great time. You're right.
Oh.
I like failed that part.
I'm a psychologist, and I think that, well, I would never trust a psychologist if they hadn't done their own therapy. Like, I would never,
Yeah.
like, don't go to a psychologist who has not been in therapy.
That
you
should be
gotta,
their first question. Have you been in therapy?
seriously, you gotta know both sides of the equation. You gotta feel what it's like to be a
Love it.
patient or a client. And so, yeah. So I've never, any kind of practice that I do in my work, I always also try at that technique as a patient. So yes, your question of yeah, I mean, I think so. One is that I have gone through depression in my life, and I have I do take an antidepressant, and I think it's really helped me. I also think, you know, when you have a genetic underpinning for depression, like I just had depression on both sides, mom and dad, and both have histories of depression. And so, you know, I was like,
It's working against you a little bit.
So having taking medication really helped me. And what was the other thing I was thinking? Oh, so one of the techniques that I do, or one of the models that I use in as a therapist, is called AEDP. That's the acronym, and it stands for Accelerated Experiential. Wait, I'm sorry, Experiented ex Accelerated Experiential Dynamic Psychotherapy. And the tagline, or the one of the things I said to you as we were talking before the recording, is undoing aloneness. And that to me is so profound. And I guess I also want to share with you, Tim, that like you actually, I could get teary just thinking about this, but like you undid my aloneness because,
Really?
yes.
Oh my goodness.
I listened to your podcast and I was like, oh my God, like this is
Yeah.
some community out there that I've never known.
It
So
makes you feel good. I mean, that's the point,
but to
right? I
get
mean,
choked up.
yeah. Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, this helps me too. There's no question. You know, I mean, talking to other people, I always say that sometimes there's a point where it is like odd to say, but it's like, man, if it wasn't for this disease, I would not meet these people. I would not talk to them. I wouldn't get to learn from them. I wouldn't understand certain things. I'd be less empathetic. I mean, it's almost like a blessing to have it, dare I say it, in like some sense, because I'd be missing out on the growth I've had because of it, you know? And not that I was a complete jerk before, but I definitely wasn't as empathetic to other people's struggle. Like, oh my goodness, like there's no way, you know, and I've kind of told the tale in pieces before where, like, when I was diagnosed, sitting on that parking lot, watching people going in and out of that parking lot. And I thought to myself, or in the doctor's office, I'm like, there's no way I'm the only person going in one way and coming out completely different. Like, how many people have their whatever that something is? Like, it's your, I discovered my something today, day. And that is difficult. Like, how, like, you're not even, maybe you're seeing something coming, or you know something's going to be said if you're walking in there. It's not a, maybe a total surprise, but you know, I think that we live out our hope as long as we can, and sometimes you continue it too, but it changes. I think hope evolves, you know, the mission of it is a little bit different from maybe before your diagnosis to when you are to now coping with it. And that was always in my point from there. Like, I want to be loud about this. I respect those such as yourself who've kind of kept it close to their heart and not really shared a lot yet until they're ready. I think you have to do that. Like, don't do it just because I did it right away. But I mean, I was telling people pretty quickly, you know, and it started with your inner
I'm
circle and then
impressed.
expanded. Right.
Yeah, that's
But no, that
great.
means a lot. I really appreciate you saying that it affects you that way and that it helped you get to here.
I've never had a conversation with somebody with FSHD. This is my first conversation ever. Yeah, I know. It's kind of crazy that I've been living with this many years. Never, ever had a conversation with somebody. So, like, when I heard your podcast, I can't remember how it happened, but I came across it and I was just like, what? What is this?
What is this guy doing?
What is this guy doing? And like, I think it was the climber,
Yes.
Johnny Quintana.
Yeah. Yes, you got it. Yep, Johnny
Yeah.
Quintana. Yeah. In
Like,
fact, he has an
what?
article within this. I'm looking at the article right now, actually,
Yeah.
this magazine I got today. Yeah, Johnny Quintana, the U.S. Paralympic athlete for climbing. I mean, the guy's a beast. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
I was like, damn, like, if he can do
Right. I
this, right?
know.
Yeah.
I know. I know.
So it's really opened up. It opened up my mind. It opened up my heart. Like, it really like broke me open in this like very positive way that I'm like still feeling the reverberations. Like, I'm still, this is, like I said, this is my first conversation,
Yeah,
but
it's wild.
I'm
Wow.
interested in knowing more people, you know, like I do want to know people in this community. I just have felt, as I said before, like I've been in this weird in-between place of like, am I too able-bodied? Am I not disabled enough? So this question of like, when can I belong in this
Right.
community has been a thing for me. And I'm like, well, you know, like, why am I depriving myself of support and connection?
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Right?
It'll just because this affects us all so differently. And I've had people say that in maybe not the exact way, but very similar ways, where like, am I disabled enough? Or like, or I'm not as disabled as others, and I think of them and this and this. And that's great. And I understand all that, because even when I've gone to certain FSHD Society events, we aired the podcast kind of live-ish from Connect Conference in Florida a couple years ago. And just being in that room, with other people that are drastically more affected by this disease than myself. However, if I'm in a room of people that aren't affected at all, I'm affected. Like, dude, they're like, what's up? Like, what's up with that guy over there? He's walking different, So it's like, it depends, I guess, what room you're standing in, that like your variations of effectiveness. But I'll tell you, of a community that makes you feel a part of them, regardless. You're right. But you're right. You don't want to like take from others, I guess. That was always my side of it. Like, I don't know. Like, shouldn't we be giving more attention to the young kids that have this disease? I always think like the early onset people that are really struggling right now, and it's affecting them so fast. Like, what are we doing? Like, can we shine a bigger light on that right now? Because that's who needs the attention. And I maybe this show helps, maybe other ways help, I suppose. But yeah, I'm totally with you. It's like, I want people to come out and be comfortable saying that they have it, but only when they're ready. And I think, believe it or not, here, it's like you probably have definitely moved somebody else now, right? That you've shared this conversation, and then they're going to listen. And then that's the ripple effect that it continues. They're going to listen to this and go, oh my goodness, I can completely relate to this. That's exactly what she's saying is how I've been feeling. And I'm sure that happens to you on a professional basis, right? Where you kind of have a good session, right, with someone, where it's like, boom, here we go. We really cracked into something that has like kind of turned the table, right? Yeah. So how important then is it, do you think, then, people that are coping with FSHD to see somebody for the mental side of this disease, how it affects us there?
Oh, so you're saying like how could start just so you're saying how important is it
Yeah,
for
should we see someone like you in your profession,
I
right? I
see.
mean, should this be
Yeah.
part of our arsenal of helping?
Oh, that's such a good point. I wasn't even thinking that. But yeah, right. It's so funny that I didn't even think that. But yeah, right. Of course. That makes so much sense to me. It's funny, like I just always again took that as a given because that's the person I am. Like, yes, I am a therapist, but I think like I am a therapist because I am an introspective person and always thought like therapy was a good thing even before I became a therapist.
Right,
Like
right.
I unfortunately my parents put me, fortunately or unfortunately, I was in a lot of therapy. So yeah, I think, I mean, it's interesting because what kind of therapist would you be with? That's
Right, that's
an
the key, isn't
important
it?
piece. I would want somebody who has this disease to work with somebody who really, they don't necessarily have to have FSHD, but that knows something about this and the both progression physically, but also the emotional toll.
Yes.
this can take.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because I personally think it's harder. You know, for because it's like, I don't know, it's like I can't explain why for me personally it's more difficult to just cope with the frustration, you know, internally, mentally of not being able to do something you could have done before, or maybe that's part of it. Or man, if I can't do this now, you know, what does it mean again?
Right.
You know, or just the small little triggers, things that's like, oh, I can't do that. Well, there goes that. Like, great example. I have a dog. This dog of mine, me and my wife take out down the street and walk back every day. That's our morning routine. But we kind of let him just kind of go out the garage door on his own with his leash attached. He's usually pretty good until he sees a cat, which he did today. Boom, off he goes. My dog is not slow. My wife is faster than me because she can actually still run. So thank God she was there. But I thought to myself as she was running after this dog, when eventually, thank God he stopped. He's decently trained, so he stopped. And she grabs him, but I thought to myself, there is no way in hell I'm getting that dog if I'm alone. You know, I have to
No,
just hope to
exactly.
God he stops and then I'll just catch up to him at some point or he comes back to me. And it's
Yeah.
like, those are the little moments where, you know, it's like, oh, you stupid FSHD. Because I remember what I could run decent enough to go catch up halfway to this speeding dog. It's like, those to me are the little frustrating moments that almost blindside you in a way, you know. Or it could be walking up the stairs with a laundry basket in my hand. I'm like, good Lord, is there bricks in this thing? You know what I mean? Like those things that mentally weigh on you.
And
So,
asking for help. I think that's
yeah.
the
Oh my
biggest thing
goodness.
that I struggle with. Like,
Yeah.
I mean, so if I'm traveling, if I go on an airplane and I'm traveling with my son or my family, like for a long time, like I didn't want to ask for help to get my suitcase up in
Yeah.
the
Oh
compartments.
God. Yeah. I'm with you.
And so now my son is 17. And now I actually almost take pleasure in not only like getting the help, but also like it gives him an experience of being able to help me. I think I wanted to be this mom who didn't need any help from her kids. And in fact, I think my son, it feels good for him to be able to help me.
Agree. Yes. Very, very early on, like one of my early first episodes, I had this friend, this pair of friends that came on, and he didn't have FSHD, but he has a debilitating, you know, muscle wasting disease, basically, is kind of how it's tagged. And they made a documentary. That's how I had him on because they went through this huge hike in Spain. It's like a pilgrimage hike that a lot of people take.
Camino.
And yes. And they had a documentary that they made. It was award-winning called I'll Push You. So the one in the wheelchair wanted to experience it while his friend said, well, then I'll just push you. So they designed a chair and they figured out how to do this. As the story went on, it took more than just him to help him through, obviously, all this. There's so many, you know, layers and meetings of friendship and like helping people and this and this. And he said, you know, they asked him, do you feel like a burden when you're in the chair and people are struggling to get you up these hills and like this wouldn't be such a struggle? And he said, he tried to wrap it around his head early on, like, don't deny someone's opportunity to help you because they've asked. Well, don't take that from them. They asked for a reason. You know, that's profound angle to look at something that I never looked at before until he said it. And I'm like, oh, it means a lot. Now, my disease has gotten worse since that conversation I had with those guys. But nonetheless, I think the advice is still the same and goes to your point, right? Why deny your son? Like, if he wanted to help you, don't take that from him. Like, let him, right?
No, it's a big deal. I think it is a real big deal. It is like accepting your vulnerability too. Like, you know, it's like, oh yeah, I actually, it's o and it's okay to need help. It's really okay, which
Yeah,
is
it is.
hard.
Yeah. So it sounds like then we have a good advice of adaption. Keep living for you. You're still dancing. You're doing your thing. You're helping people through your work. You believe, I think that, you know, people should tap into that. I think you're like me. You just assume that people, they think like you, right? Well, shouldn't everybody be seeing a therapist? I think some still have that part of their old school mentality is like it shows weakness if I need to see somebody, or where do I begin, you know, or who do I find? And I think you've given great advice like with that. One of the last questions I have for you though is, because you're really speaking from a person that's experiencing some firsts more recently maybe than others we've had on.
Right.
So for someone that's maybe listening to this, similar to maybe to you when you were listening to it for the first time, like, what advice would you give that person that feels, one alone, and then how do you get through that? What's the next steps? Like, how do you break free a little bit?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think like move slowly.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Get pinky toe in. Like, start with the newsletter. That actually I read those newsletters for years. And I would like read a little bit and then put it away. Like, I was a little scared to read some of it. So I would like, oh, there's a personal story. It would almost like, this sounds very strange, but it was almost like, when you watch a scary movie and you're just kind of like, oh, I don't want to look. I don't want to look.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
It was like that for me. Like, I'm like, I don't want to look. I don't want to look. And then, oh, this is an interesting story. Oh, I like this story. And then I started really wanting to get the newsletters and I want to read the stories. So that's like my favorite part of the newsletters is like the personal story. And then, I guess like, so getting connected with people, however you can do it, even if it is from a distance, you want to read about it. I think that helped, reading about it first and seeing where that takes you. And I think the biggest thing, and this isn't something you can just tell somebody, it's something they have to like learn and come to on their own. But I feel like if we can like take away the shame of having this disease and just like be like, this is just how it is. Like, this is my path in this world. I don't know why this was the thing that I was given. Maybe that's kind of like what you're saying, like, how else would you meet these wonderful people? I feel like I'm still learning, like, why this is my path. I feel like talking to you today, it feels very affirming of like, oh, you're such a nice guy. And this
Oh,
is
thanks.
a lovely time to talk and have this conversation. So it feels like the good experience here is definitely feeding my desire to connect more with people.
That's good. Yeah. So that sounds like that's the best advice. I like the fact that you kind of said, kind of take it slow. Maybe you've got to jump in super fast, right? Just kind of take it easy, a little at a time, go at the pace that's comfortable with you. But it doesn't sound like you're saying don't connect at all.
Gosh, no.
Yeah.
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 No, I think
just kind of get in it.
Get in it if you can.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Find somebody kind.
Yeah. Right. Right. And I think you'll find the whole community within that, right? There's definitely those people in this community, and it might not even be anybody in your state. It might be somebody outside of it.
Right.
If it's a local FSHD chapter or something like that. And yes, this podcast is supported by FSHD Society, but I'm hardly plugging the heck out of it. There's a lot of ways, even social media does help. There is a good side to it where you can get connected and find just what people are thinking about. And even that's safe because you can just read it. You can just look at it, like you said, newsletter, those things that maybe ease your way until you're more confident or comfortable. I would say, hey, if you want to email me, go ahead. However, Alyssa emailed me too. And then all of a sudden she's sitting on the other side here and being interviewed. So it might happen. I might ask you.
I was amazed. I was like, I wrote to you and he wrote back and I was like, oh my God, this is really happening.
Yeah. Like, hey, you want to come on? I mean, it's
that
up to you.
So casual and informal. Like, wow.
Well, I definitely want to get people in front of others and see if they're willing to share. And you're very courageous to do so. And I think that has to be shined a light on for sure, because it does take that courage to sit down and go, yeah, I want to share this. I want to share this about myself. I appreciate all the work that you've done, either in your professional life, showing everybody today that you can keep dancing, you can keep climbing like Johnny's been doing. Whatever you think you can do, do it. And I really appreciate you coming on, sharing your story with us, having a little sit down. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you, Tim. Thank you for making this program.
Oh, thank you. So what a fantastic conversation I had there with Alyssa. The things that she shared, I told you, was going to be amazing. The term AEDP, I know, was brought up before in previous episodes in the past. If you want to look those up, a little more explanation of that type of therapy. We've had other therapists on talking about that. I know in earlier episodes, I believe that they use the same type of criteria. That kind of entered my mind to make sure I touch point on that as we close out the show. The closing the distance kind of came to my mind as I was listening to her. Like, for some reason, when she was saying, you know, good advice to kind of cope with this disease is maybe start slow, you know, start slow. But I also thought, you want to close that distance from being alone, or close that distance from just, you know, just that loneliness just seems to be what it is, or the mental weight of dealing with this by yourself. Close that distance from the person that you are being separated from things because of this, and maybe you're a little more together. But do it slow. Do it at your pace. She talked about shame. Not disabled enough. How many times have I had that thought? Oh my goodness, a lot. Am I really disabled enough? And then I kind of see myself walk. Do I even consider myself that? What does that mean if I do? All these things that we talked about throughout this episode were just interesting thoughts that I know I've also had. I know you've had. And I'd love to hear more about your feedback on this episode. FSHG Radio at FSHGsociety.org. Feel free to send me those emails. Really want to know a little more about what you're thinking about with that episode and things that Alyssa had to share. It was definitely something that I didn't see coming, having the conversation with her. I stopped hitting record, you know, we closed the episode out or the interview out, and we did continue to talk. I shared to her more about how the podcast started, and she shared more with me and some great advice she gave me, maybe what I should be looking to do furthering this podcast past the microphone in some degree, you know, talking about expanding my interests in helping people cope with things. And she said, don't be afraid to use what you have to help others. Not on the recorded episode, but I wanted to share it because it's something she mentioned after the fact. And I found it interesting to share that because I think it might help others listening. It kind of goes under that same principle that we talked about within the conversation of, you know, don't deny people the opportunity to help you. Her son, if it's a suitcase over her head, I've been in a grocery store. People ask me, can you reach that top can or whatnot on the top shelf? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I can, but I try because I don't really want to deny them. Like, they need help. Let me help them. And it just leads to, in my mind, that's a big problem in the world altogether. I don't think there's enough empathy. I don't think there's enough people living in others, you know, shoes or viewpoints of how or what their struggle is. Every single person has something or some things. And I know there's people that have this disease that might have other things they're coping with. And unfortunately, with this disease, you also have to deal with the mental makeup of it. It is sometimes borderline unbearable. And I think that knowing this is coming or something else is being taken away and you live your life and you try to go from day to day, you still do certain things. But yes, like Alyssa said, then all of a sudden now your items are not on the top shelf. They're on the second shelf or now the counter, right? As this disease progresses and then the stair falls of, as I like to put it, kind of keep happening as you get older and, oh my goodness. And it's frustrating. When will it end? That's why I also implore people to keep getting involved. Get involved with these fundraising events. Get involved with the things that are going on in this community. Be part of some of the research even. You can make a massive impact if it's not even just for us, but for generations to come that need us to step up. And it was great that Alyssa stepped up in this episode because I think her coming on, sharing her story, helps others that are reluctant as well as she was before. I am very moved that she felt moved by hearing the podcast with the guests we've had. It is, it always throws me off a little bit because that's not my necessarily intent. And I don't want to feel selfish by like, oh, that makes me feel good. That's not what this is supposed to be for. Regardless, it was nice to hear. I love the feedback. I hope you all feel the same way. I want you to feel comfortable here. I want you to feel like you can share. And, that's what this community is for. I've said it before. There's other podcasts that want to talk about the science. They want to talk about, of course, the people in the community, or they have certain guests on, family members that are dealing with this. And great. That's great. I'm really glad that that exists. And I've listened to them. Not religiously, but I've listened to those. But with all due respect, you don't have it. You don't have this disease. I'm really glad you're in it and you're helping the research, and that's awesome. Trust me. I think everybody else agrees with me on that one. I'm sure of it. But living it every day, you're living it when you're sleeping, you're living it when you're awake. It's not the life that you want for others. So you cope with it the best you can and make other people feel like they support you. It makes that day better. And I hope by listening to this podcast, it makes your day a little better. Not because of me, but because of the people that we can bring on here to share with you. So that's kind of my final thought with it. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening to the episode. FSHD Straight Talk. More to come as we finish out the year. More to come in the following year. I can't wait to get more guests on. I need your help in that. If you want to nominate somebody, I'd love to hear that. FSHDradio@FSHDsociety.org is the email. Want to be on the show? Just want to chat? Just want to talk? Just want to follow? Follow me on social. Follow the show. It's everywhere you find podcasts. Rate it, review it, whatever. Share it like crazy. Please help grow the platform. We'd love to hear more beyond the community that is following the show. And I'd love to share the episodes with as many people as possible, of course. Thanks again for listening. It's been my pleasure. Take care. You've been listening to the FSHD Straight Talk Podcast.